Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, and what did we determine this would be? That direction is west. That would make this east. In the southeast corner of our daughter's room / our recording studio, alongside me is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hi.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. We are vibing. That was a vibrant welcome right here. We are surrounded. We are in beanbag chairs. We are surrounded by cat paraphernalia, various pieces of homemade art, Legos, and our producer, the very funny Stephen English, said, wherever you recorded that last episode, record it there again. Mm-hmm. That's the best acoustics we've ever had. And it's because we're sounding... So this is actually what a recording studio is. It's, you know, rugs and these cars. It's very...
Curtains.
So it's really nice, everybody. So welcome, everybody, to our podcast.
And carpet, yeah.
Our little podcast that could. Happy Tuesday or whatever day you're listening to this. I hope that it finds you well. I hope that your heart is encouraged. That's not true. Here's the thing. We're here to talk to you about a couple things today. Actually, we're going to do some emails at the end.
Great.
We've got some nice emails from previous episodes. We've got, we're going to talk a lot about pumpkin patches today. We went to one today. We've got some hot takes on the pumpkin patches. But before we do, I want to say three things. One.
Okay.
Part of the reason that this podcast exists is because you guys make it happen. Mm-hmm. You're the backseaters are the best we could ask for. You guys tell friends, you recommend, you see me at a show. Some of you have seen me some backyard shows and have been subscribing to the pod. Mm-hmm. If I met you in Florence, Alabama this last weekend, amazing. So beautiful. Thank you for being a part of that. If I met you in Birmingham after that, wherever it may be, you guys make this happen and we don't put money into marketing, clearly. The way that this spreads is through you guys telling friends and spreading the word. So we appreciate you recommending. And if you're like, man, I wish I could get a little more out of the podcast, then we have the answer. That's our Patreon. That's right there for you, everybody. Mm-hmm. Patreon. You can give a little more. You can get a little more out of the podcast. If you go to patreon.com/don't make me come back there, you check that out. You check that out, and then you get extra stuff. I posted something this week for our second highest tier. It's at $25 a month. You get this one. You get interview reviews and
a hard little combination of words.
And it was an interview review on all the episodes I've done with you. So just the general,
really?
My general take on the episodes with Melissa.
I better listen to that.
Yeah, that is up there right now. And I mean, it's not in my timeline. It's not up there because I'm posting it tonight. But by the time you listen to this, it'll be up there. So check that out, everybody. Patreon.com/don't make me come back there. And finally, I officially announced it today on Instagram or yesterday on Instagram. But my debut comedy special, Overwhelmed, is coming out on Thanksgiving Day 2020. You're going to be able to get that on Amazon Prime, or you're going to be able to go to Gumroad and stream it from there. I mean, this is subject to change. Who knows? Maybe someone will sweep and swoop
oh, yeah,
at the last second and pick it up. I'm not counting on that. I'm doing it myself with the help of Transit Productions and Kev on Stage, and we're very, very excited about it. I'm very, very proud of it. I've spent 8 years working on that material. I have spent many hours watching the two different sets that we recorded and filming and looking and and there's still a lot of work to do on our end, but there's no work for you to do on your end. Just
one click.
Just save a couple bucks and watch it with your family. And, you know, what else are you going to do on Thanksgiving
Day?
Sit around, watch a comedy special that was filmed outside with people in masks, surrounded by barbed wire. It'll all make
sense
when you see it.
That's just the start of it. Yeah.
Okay, that was a lot of announcements. Today, what we want to talk to you guys about is, I know what I was just saying was like, felt like a maze of information, but we're here to talk about corn mazes. We're here to talk about picking out pumpkins. We're here to talk about animals that are in too small of spaces.
Yes.
We are here to talk about operations that in a month switch to selling Christmas trees. We are here to talk about places for families that have been infiltrated by influencers.
Yes.
We're here to talk about pumpkin patches. We have gone to pumpkin patches since our children were born. Now, this is always the way that I, you know, when we get on a topic, I like to ask you this. Did you go to pumpkin patches as a child? Do you have any?
Yes, I remember. Oh, man. I think it was kind of that kindergarten age, you know?
Right.
Preschool, kindergarten. I remember going to one pumpkin patch
with your
in
family,
Colorado,
or
on
like
a bus,
on a field trip. Right.
That's
my memory.
School field trip.
I think I went with one on a field trip. Yeah.
And then I was in Japan on an Air Force base, first grade to fourth grade. And I think there was some sort of Japanese version that they kind of tried to pull off. Maybe my sisters did that. I went to like a bread factory in Japan.
For your field trip.
Yeah, it was like a food factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. You do go on some random field trips.
Yes.
I remember the, I remember going to SDG&E.
Right.
No.
The energy company.
The Puget Sound Energy.
Yes. Joel went to the, they're like, this is a city thing. Just come on down.
Who takes him to the stinking energy factory? Kids love this. Kids,
they're like, here's a meter.
Kids are fascinated by utilities. They love it.
Did you have to wear a hard hat?
I mean, I don't think they even let us do that. I mean, you got to remember, I went to a poor school. Like we went
But you had a bus. That's more than a California.
We did the one time
school
we
can
had that.
Pull off.
I remember another time we went to. When you get older, you go on a couple. Like we went to this wasn't field trip, but for we would go to the state capitol.
I never did that with a school.
So I did that.
But you went to Olympia.
I went to Olympia because I was in
ASB.
Yeah, something like that. I went to the
middle school.
Kids will love government.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the only fun part. I remember all I remember about those is eating my sack lunch on the stairs.
I was thinking the stairs. That is what a state capitol is. Just a bunch of stairs.
It's so many stairs. That's all you could think
what's
of.
What's the color? The gray stairs.
Well, and they're marble or there's so much marble.
Yeah, white or gray.
It's so funny. So many gray stairs. And I remember they'd be like, oh, this is very exciting. Like there's a meeting in session and they were doing some stupid capital meeting. I don't know what it was. Some stupid, I'm 11. And then, so I remember you, so there were two potential field trips that you would get to go on at my elementary school at the end of the year. And like the honors or ASB or whatever, one of them went to Olympia. And then safety patrol would go to Wild Waves.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, which is like heaven on earth, you know. But every single time we went to Wild Waves, it rained. Every time.
Oh, yeah.
And so you would do one slide and then run to the hot tub, which was always so full.
Yeah. And they aren't even that hot.
They're not even that hot.
They're like Yeah, my dad called them warm tubs.
Warm tubs.
Yeah.
And the outer seats would always be full, so you would have to like go between people middle. And hang out in the middle.
You're so cold, you're like, whatever.
You're just waiting in the middle.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't have any recollection of going to a pumpkin patch as a child. I'm sure I did.
No.
I'm sure. Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's the 80s.
No. I mean, you know? Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. Is it like a new thing, or did just better parents take their kids to pumpkin patches?
This is way more built up than it used to be.
Every kid goes to pumpkin patches now. It's like,
well, it's the photo op, and you share it on social media.
That's exactly it. It was the rise of social media, I think.
This is the same thing with Halloween costumes.
Well, that Halloween costumes have been there forever.
Okay, but they used to not have Halloween costume stores. That's what I mean. Is it more of an enterprise?
Yeah, that's probably true. Everything is just so commercialized these days.
As we get 7-Eleven Slurpees for the kids.
So we went today. So what we
support local, you know?
Yeah, we're thinking that this was our 13th trip to a pumpkin patch because we've gone at least once a year in our child. This is our oldest child's 13th.
He's 13.
So
maybe 14.
Yeah, there's a couple of classic toddler Joel pictures in the mud. And
we didn't take him when he was a baby.
Okay, so maybe. Yeah. So maybe. Oh, so
probably
at least one or twice you went twice a year with the field trip and us. Yeah. So we're right around there. So, and probably to like five different ones, maybe, right?
Yeah. Just a handful, yeah.
So today we go to ours and we don't have a ton of time. And
We do not go on the weekends.
No. Of course not.
If you go on the weekends, you got to go at like 4.
Right, as it's closing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just crazy.
Or, as you've pointed out before, one of the moves is you try and, or you go right at noon. Where you catch the toddler.
We used to do that when all the babies would go home.
You catch the toddler nap break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is a real pro mom move. You know.
Well, it's just like strollers and...
Yeah.
Crying children. I don't know. Toddlers stress me out now.
You did mention that. You said, yeah.
I don't know. It's, you know, there's a lot going on with homeschool, distance learning and all that.
Yeah.
I'm more stressed.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, we have a 6-year-old who is emotionally a toddler in some ways. And you're like, I don't need another toddler. Plus, you're married to me. And I am toddler like in some ways.
I think toddlers look at me and are like, that woman would help me.
Right. That's the thing that
because I make eye contact and I engage and then I get stressed.
You told me
out
the other day that people, strangers ask you to watch their kids.
Yes.
Which is a kind of a compliment, but also, you know.
I mean, I feel like I'm like zoning out and then
this
Saturday at a park, this mom was like, what's his name? Jasper. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Claire's kind of chatting with him and then she's like, I have to go to the bathroom so bad.
That's hilarious.
Will you watch Jasper?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah. I do have to go in a couple minutes. But yeah, go for it.
And Melissa, with great power comes great responsibility. So.
And then she came back and she was like, he didn't even care.
Where did this happen again? Not at the pumpkin patch.
No, Liberty Station.
Oh, so it's wild. That is like, I can't imagine. Under no circumstance whatsoever would I ever ask a stranger to watch our kids.
Really?
No, I wouldn't. There's no way.
Oh, because you don't trust. Yeah.
It's also just terrible parenting. I mean...
Well,
at a
what
public
was
park?
Funny is I thought she was there with another mom, but they both had like 2 little kids each.
Right, right.
And so, and I just had Claire, and so she was just like, we're all happy here. I'm going to go run.
But when you're there with a kid, you everyone's like, all right, they're on the team. They get it. So that was like when Bert Gotze. So when I opened up for Nate at the Balboa Theater here in San Diego, I was like I was on stage, and Nate asked you to watch his daughter.
Yeah. I was like, what's your name? You know? Yeah.
Harper.
Harper, yeah. It was no big deal, but it was so hilarious. Because I was kind of, I think I brought her up to the wings. I was like, I kind of want to watch Dustin perform. Yeah.
this is the theater, the historic theater in our town.
No, actually, he asked me in the wings.
Oh, yeah.
Because his wife was getting food. And I was like, surely you guys can Uber Eats this.
Yeah, yeah, it's a compliment.
But it was no big deal.
Yeah. So we go to the pumpkin patch today. And the funny thing is, and I think it's in part because we've done them so many times. And, you know, there's really only, it's
just a couple elements.
Yeah. And there's only, that's, and that's the thing. We went to one that's like very accessible. And we had like, so we had virtual school today. I had a dentist appointment followed by a COVID test. And we didn't, yeah, exactly. We have a, you know, some party Monday right here.
Yeah.
And we had like, you know, our normal kayaking thing on Monday at 4 that we had to get to. And so we're like, we're only going to be here like 2 hours. And we were not stressing that at all. Like not even.
Oh, yeah.
And not only were we not stressing that we only had 2 hours, we didn't make it an hour and a half. We were in and out so fast because there's not really that much to do at a pumpkin patch.
No.
Right? Like, what do you, there's, if you're lucky, there's a maze and the maze holds you for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then this, and then there's always some random extra element.
Like, kind of Halloween art.
Yeah, there's some Halloween art. They've turned a hay barrel into a spider.
Yeah.
They've put some tubes on it. They've put some skeletons out. Really high-end stuff.
Yes.
Melissa, actually, before we left, Melissa was wearing an outfit. It was, she looked like she worked at the pumpkin patch. She had some like flared jeans and some chunky shoes and a fall striped shirt.
It's an orange and black striped shirt.
You looked like a teen that the parents own the pumpkin patch. No, that's too direct.
Like a Girl Scout?
No. You are a cousin of the family that owns
family
it.
Family farm.
You're not, no. You, it's a family farm, but you're not directly in that family. It's not your parents.
Yeah.
You just need
They're like, you get 10 bucks a week.
You get 10 bucks a week, a day. 10 bucks a day. You get 10 bucks a day.
Show up.
You just show up. All you have to do is give out tickets to the corn maze and brush the ponies. That's all.
This place was so chill, they don't even do tickets.
They were dressed like a horse lover. Do you understand? You were there for the money and to be close to the horses.
I just love the horses.
And you identified that and changed.
Yeah, I was like, what am I doing?
You were wearing a shirt that looked like it should show midriff. Like one of those. Like...
I don't know how to dress anymore. I've been inside for 7 months.
What do you wear to the pumpkin patch? What do you wear?
In Southern California.
Yeah.
There were a lot of girls in flannels.
Yeah, well, a flannel is the look. Now,
yeah.
Now the pumpkin patch experience is very different regionally.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Northwest, always muddy.
And raining.
So muddy, so rainy.
Uh-huh.
Get your boots. Get your...
Oh, yeah, your scarves.
Your scarves.
Your coats.
Yeah, yeah.
Your umbrellas.
Yeah. And maybe get there and then don't go.
Stay in the car.
It's a hot chocolate affair. By contrast, we got Slurpees today.
Yeah.
And we got rampaged by a wind dust storm.
There's a lot of wind out there today. Yeah.
So ours, it's always so hot down here.
In October.
But today was a little more chill. So the rise of the pumpkin patch, I think, is a very interesting thing because I don't know, like you said, it's the social media thing, but let me ask you this.
Okay.
What's the target age range that a kid enjoys the pumpkin patch?
It's a 30-year-old woman with a camera.
And, with a photographer. Oh, with a mom. Oh, you're saying it's about the moms.
Yeah.
It's a total,
let's
get the picture. Yeah. Well, apparently he's a 36-year-old mom, too, because you did not have a good time today. And you're like, Dustin, take some pictures. And I believe if anybody did a little photo shoot today in front of the corn, it was you. And you turned it on pretty quick. I was like, hey, let me get a picture. And you're like, oh, me? What's that? Multiple poses, expressions. You picked up some corn. It's a fine line.
I only have so many of these left.
I think today might have been the last one. You turned it on. You really did. Yeah. You were the closest thing to an influencer there because last year when we were there, and maybe it's because it was a little nicer. Maybe it was on a weekend. I don't remember.
We usually go on Mondays.
We usually
you're home.
There were multiple girls like, I don't.
Like they looked no.
Just like
a day over 15.
I mean, no, some of them were older though. Some of them were like 21.
Yeah, 20, that's
and
right.
I'm like,
that's
there's
right.
just no easy way to say this, but like, you know, you're kind of, it's kind of inappropriate for the pumpkin
this
patch.
This is a family thing. No, there was a, last time we were there, you know, a classic, you know, working in graphic design a couple yeah. years, most photographers are like 65-year-old men.
Yes.
And they've got the big old cameras.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's one of those guys and they pop out of the corn maze and then a girl.
Yeah.
Super young.
Yeah.
Teenager. Maybe she's in her 20s.
Yeah.
Comes out in like a tiny, so tight orange dress.
Yes.
And then she has a bag because she's doing an outfit change.
She's doing multiple outfits.
She's got all these outfits. She's hired a photographer.
Yeah.
She's at the corn maze slash pumpkin patch.
Way too much skin.
She's going to have to change in the porta potty or in her car. She brought a bag. I don't.
There's never a good bathroom. It's always porta potties there.
Yeah. And then there's.
You really did. Like, if you were just to describe that situation, you're like, you're getting in a car, most likely, with like a 60-year-old man. You're driving far out of town.
Yeah, way it is far like 45 out. Minutes.
Pumpkin
for
patches
us.
Are never on the way of any. Yeah, we already yeah. live east of the city. And then we went another 30, 40 minutes to go out here, way out there, you know? Mm-hmm. And to pose in a field for this man wearing way too cheeky of outfits. You're like. This is the only person who's in like a comparable outfit to what they're wearing is the toddler that's just wearing a diaper that somebody gave up. Like same amount
the
of skin coverage.
Onesie.
Well, this is not yeah. appropriate attire. So yeah, there's like family sitting there picking out a pumpkin in your
yeah,
sitting
and
there.
You're like, oh
with some stupid hashtag, you know.
Fall. Yeah. Fall y'all.
Fall y'all is totally one of it's so lame when you see it in person when yeah. you're like, okay, so the picture's like okay.
You bought an orange dress
to make this happen.
Yeah,
it really is. Now, what do you make of like the all adult group that goes to the pumpkin patch? Because there was one
that kind of artsy
yeah,
adult group.
They were pretty cool.
Yeah, they might have like been like a creative team that was out on a little thing.
It's so funny to me. I don't know why it's so funny to me. Like it's just
yeah, you go to the pumpkin patch without kids.
Here's the thing.
Let's
be honest. One thing that is a real struggle sometimes is finding things to do as an adult. Like,
yeah.
if you don't have kids, we had that season of life where you're just like, what should we do? Like,
yeah.
and there's a lot of stuff closed right now. And you just have the idea like, well, maybe we'll go to the pumpkin patch. And it's you get there and it's like,
should we get a wagon?
Should we get a wagon? And it's like. Like 100 square yards. It's not very big. And you're just four grown adults. You're like, I guess we'll go look at the goats.
Right.
What do you do?
The animals were the best part.
The animals were the best part. And thankfully, the bison was on better behavior this year because last year the bison seemed
really pent up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, tiny.
Are you like, how did you guys get a bison? Where do you rent? What kind of Tiger King stuff?
Right.
You know,
trades.
Behind the scenes deals.
Yeah.
Did you have to get the bison here in town?
I feel like they had more animals this year.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Last year it felt like they just had the goats and the bison.
Right. Well, they had the pony ride and we paid for the pony ride last year and it was
the miniature.
And it was
horse.
Obvious last year. That's what ponies are. it was obvious last year that this was our last pony ride.
Yes. You know? Claire was like kind of mocking it the whole time.
She was kind of into it and then she just realized like And everyone's just kind of looking at me.
Yeah.
And when you're like a toddler or three or four, you're like, oh, I don't mind that everybody looks at me
when you're older.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you, what is your favorite pumpkin patch memory with us as kids, or with our kids? Or like, what do you think are like the best age ranges where you would like, cause today we went to the pumpkin. It was fun. This is fun. I'm glad we went. And you know, but what do you think was like, these were the best years, or this was the best time, you know?
That's a good question. Maybe like the first time we went to that other pumpkin patch, Oma's.
The first time we went to Oma's.
Because every year they would add more and more games.
Right.
And the Cottontail, when you have little kids and they can't go sledding very easily.
Right. Well, they went there first with school, right?
Yeah.
And
they went with preschool.
Yeah. And did you go on that field trip?
Yeah. And we didn't have buses.
And you're like, we need to go.
Everybody went.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think just... you're just like, oh my gosh, it just keeps on going. Like,
yeah, Oma's is bigger.
Look over here.
Yeah.
And really, it's not. We didn't know it.
Well,
and then over the years, when we kept going back, it seemed smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And they were less and less interested.
Yeah. Well, when you're not pushing someone in a stroller or pulling them in a wagon
or carrying them
in a Bjorn, you can move a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. In the very end, you're like, now you pick out your pumpkin. You know, I don't know. Like, it's just.
Yeah. Special.
They grew up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the years in the early years of going to the Northwest were fun. You know,
we went with your family once, kind of like a birthday for you, and I think we went to Claim Jumpers.
What a good time!
Yeah.
What a good time as a grown man to get to go to a pumpkin patch for your birthday.
Yeah. That's you know, that you are born right around Halloween.
Yes, I think that my favorite year might have been last year. When we went to this new one.
It's fun to find a new place.
When you found a new place, because we had... Because listen, so many of our listeners are parents. And even if you're not a parent, you know, like, the years are fleeting. And you're like, how many more years of this are we going to get?
Yeah.
We were talking about that today as we were thinking about Christmas. And we're just like, oh my gosh, you know, we have 5 more Christmases with Joel at home. You know, so we have 4 more pumpkin patches with Joel at home, you know.
Just Halloween's.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I was thinking about how, like, if we go to them now in the future, they're going to be, like, kind of ironically, which is fun in its own right.
Yeah.
They're like, come on, guys, we're going to the pumpkin patch, you know, and it'll be fun in the same way, because that's our attitude towards them. And, like, Joel today, you know, because we have the moody teen. And, you know, he was like, can I not go? And he got in the car, and then he's like, he like asked not to go, and then he asked for something, and then he asked for 7-Eleven before we even went. Like, it was just, and then I think I told him that he was being a hack. And I was like, come on, Jill, the moody teenager, it's too obvious.
It's overdone.
Be creative. The moody teenager that doesn't want to hang out with his family. Come on, dig deeper. Come on, buddy. Just give me something a little more inspired. And then I told him he had a chance to reset. And he did. I actually think Joel was very into it today.
Well, they have a bunch of huge boulders.
They have so he's doing some parkour.
And so he was doing a ton of climbing.
Right.
Which was great.
And then when
him.
He realized in the corn maze that he could hide and jump out on the girls.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
He
fell into the corn stalks, which is so funny. Yeah. So we might go ironically, but I think that last year that would have been 12-year-old Joel, 9-year-old Gloria, 5-year-old Claire.
Yeah.
So 2 kids that were still into it age-wise and not above it. And Gloria is probably of our kids the most young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, and that might change, but maybe that's because COVID and her attachment. I don't know if you guys are having this experience as parents, but we've totally felt that because of COVID, because Gloria not in school, she's like gravitates. I mean, the person that she's spending the most time with is her younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been a little more childlike in like a great way. More.
Yeah, she's a 5th grader.
Yeah, but she's playing a ton of make-believe games and imaginary stuff with Claire, and it's great. Mm-hmm. She'll call her back. Come on, Claire, let's play. You know, so great.
Way better than doing math.
I mean, if there's one thing she's not doing, it's her homework. Buckle up for that. I mean, it's hard to even get mad at a kid right now when they're having a hard time with school, because you're like, I mean, school is already hard.
She started on an iPad, then they switched her to a Chromebook.
Right.
And then now her Chromebook isn't working properly. It's, you know.
And now she's on a, what was her, the math thing or what do they say?
Emergency
intervention or whatever.
Intervention.
Which is, they did not have that when I was in school. Because there was a couple times that my grades were slipping and there was no like intervention. There was just like, hey bro, you're failing. Remember when you were like a kid and you would get like a progress report mid?
Yes.
We didn't know our grades back then, right?
No. I mean, they're everywhere now.
That's crazy.
She took a test Friday and today we knew her grade.
Yeah, opening your report card used to be terrifying. They'd put it in an envelope.
Sealed.
It used to be so dramatic. And you have to have your parents sign it sometimes, right? Grades used to be so dramatic. And now a kid knows what his grade
every
is
day.
At all times.
Yeah.
Constantly knows what his grade is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's changed.
And teachers are constantly emailing like, I haven't graded everything yet.
I know.
It's not accurate.
Well, and based on Gloria, it doesn't necessarily mean they're more motivated.
Right.
You know?
But that test on Friday, she was like, it was so easy.
Yeah.
We were like, great.
Ooh. Oh, man. It's...
It's just so challenging.
Yeah, telling them
distance learning.
Yeah. Here's a little word to the wise, everybody. Just because your kid says a test was easy does not mean that they did well. Ooh. Oh man. yikes. So I think it was probably last year for me. I thought that it was like a really fun, like sweet time, and finding something new was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to that one today, and I think that maybe that's just the one that we'll milk for a couple more years.
Do you remember the Boy Scout that was working the corn cannon last year?
Yeah, he was annoying.
He wouldn't stop talking to us, but I found it very amusing.
Oh, yeah, there was a Boy Scout that worked the corn cannon last year. This year, the entertainment was there was a dog there.
Yes, the dog was amazing.
The dog was fetching the corn like half the time.
Hiding behind a tire.
Right. Oh, so he didn't get shot.
Yeah, he had been hit before. He was like, I will hide back here. He was cute.
I have two thoughts. Two questions for you. One, we did the best. Do you have like a worst? I think it's probably Muddy Joel, right? Muddy Joel up in the Northwest, which got
actually,
us one of our best pictures of Joel ever.
I think I'm going to top it. Okay, so when we were in the Northwest, we moved on November 1st to San Diego, like 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I took Joel and Gloria to a preschool pumpkin patch field trip. And they were both clingy and crying like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because like our whole house had been boxed up for like two
weeks. Right.
And they just couldn't be there.
Mm.
You know?
So it was more sad.
And so I have this, because I was with mom friends. This is like our last time hanging out. We're like literally done with preschool, literally moving. And I have this really funny like smile. And then the kids are like both crying like on the hayride with me. Because they were just like, we can't handle this right now.
This is too much.
Like we're,
I know.
We're overwhelmed with this move, this transition. It was too much.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got a little sadder than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be like when Joel fell in the mud.
Well, that was so shocking because it was like raining the whole drive out there.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I got like a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Right.
And yeah, he just slipped a couple times and I was like, we're done. Like, he's crying. He's got rain boots and a raincoat and his hands are covered in mud.
Yeah.
Like, all he wants is get to this. He was all about, like, texture and his clothing.
I mean, it was hard just to get that kid in shoes. Putting that kid in shoes.
Yeah, the whole
putting
thing.
Toddler Joel. So, I have, like, PTSD trying to remember to put, getting him to wear shoes.
I know. Well, then we just never put our youngest in shoes.
Yeah.
That's how we got around that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, she wore sandals to the pumpkin patch today.
She just, all of her life, I just put her in the car with her clothes on the floor, like, when we get there, we'll probably put your clothes on. We'll probably get you dressed.
Yeah.
If we don't, we don't.
Yeah, she's shirtless around the house a lot.
If we forget your shoes,
yeah, It's only a matter of time before she ends up shirtless in one of the kindergarten Zooms, first grade Zooms.
She tried that once.
Did you hear today that they're going to do trick-or-treating for the first graders at the school?
Yes.
You did hear that. On Friday. They get an email.
Yeah, they announced it.
Big time.
No candy, but...
What?
Yeah.
What, are they getting them pencils?
Probably. Bouncy balls.
You guys, I'm just going to tell you that this is going to make a bad year worse for those kids.
There's a lot of drive-by trick-or-treating happening this year in California.
That's not even necessarily helpful for you because I'm going to be gone Friday. So you're going to have to, I guess, you just leave the big kids
get
home.
Her in her costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone, they're like, hey, wear your costume on Zoom on Friday.
Right.
But no masks and no weapons.
I think I think that the worst one for me is I can't remember any particularly bad memories of there. I mean, I do remember some whiny, ungrateful kids, but that's everything we've ever done. And I feel like we're starting to turn a corner there. We're starting to get more thank yous. We're starting to work. Asking a child to have a good attitude is not easy. It's like a very ethereal thing. It's not easy for them to like focus on. You know?
Yeah.
And we don't do like shock parenting. We're just like, we don't.
I had a pretty bad attitude today.
You were probably worst attitude today until we started that photo shoot in the field. And then you transformed. You were like Jim Carrey in The Mask. You turned into a different person. All eccentric and no. Sometimes with you just gotta get out of the house. That's like it's like the old adage of like the hardest part is starting. The hardest part for you is getting out of the house. And once we're out of the house, you're like, okay, it's going. But they like, hey, we're gonna go to the pumpkin patch. You'll just like stare at your phone, like near the door, or like you'll be at the table.
It's too overwhelming to do it all.
Yeah,
like to leave.
Yeah.
I want to leave, but I'm too overwhelmed.
What I've noticed, the way that I help you in that is I just get kids in the car.
Yeah, like, and then I'm like, we need shoes for this,
exactly.
And a mask for this.
But if I can just get
towels,
them in the car, we're
snacks.
Like, it's like the wave starts and just kind of takes you with
momentum.
Us.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is the worst, I don't have any bad pumpkin patch story memories, but I will say it is painful for me to look at the pictures of how we were dressed in the old ones in the Northwest.
Oh, yeah. The early 2000s
what are we wearing? I'm wearing like some...
I guess it was the late...
I'm wearing like some extra large rain jacket over a polo with small glasses.
I didn't have a raincoat in Washington.
We were so poor.
I did have a raincoat, but what I did is I wore like a puffer vest that I got at Goodwill over that raincoat. So I wore two coats that kind of acted like a warm coat. Remember it had the fur lined hood, and it was a medium, and I was an extra small at the time. This was huge on me. And my Value Village jeans.
Yeah.
We never bought new shoes.
Yeah, no, there's
all
one.
All of our shoes were used.
Yeah. There's one where
we had no shoe boxes in the house.
There's one where I'm wearing my my shoes that I would wear at Starbucks. Like, you know, like
you had just gone off a Starbucks shift.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, I was like in khakis and the black no slip shoes.
That was okay. That we got at like Walmart.
Is that dirt on his shoes? No, that's mocha powder.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. You worked that morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to do something for your birthday and your family wants to do it too.
Yeah.
So you were working a second job at Starbucks.
You're like, I would love to sleep. That's the main thing. I would like to go sleep.
And so what we did, I totally forgot about this.
That's right. That's when I was working at the church, but I was also working a couple days during the week. And then I would...
Saturdays.
And I would work Saturdays and Sundays, right?
Yeah.
No.
No, because you weren't working Sundays at that time.
Right. But I worked three shifts. Yeah.
Fridays and Saturdays.
So I worked every day. But I would work Fridays and Saturdays at
Starbucks.
At Starbucks in downtown Bellevue.
So I was like, we've never been to a pumpkin patch. You know, they cost money. People on social media do this.
Right.
I want to do it with my kid.
Right.
So let's do this for your birthday.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And really, the only thing that could make the pumpkin patch worse in that scenario is just more extended family. Because we brought my whole family that had never been to a pumpkin patch and didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, your dad was like, I grew up on farmland.
Yeah.
Like, why are we here?
My mom's looking for a drink.
There's no restaurant, sit-down restaurants here. Your grandpa got kind of claustrophobic in that corn maze.
Oh, that's right.
We're like, let's do this family fun corn maze.
Oh my gosh, my poor grandpa coming fresh off a stroke and like a little onset Alzheimer's.
He was at the start of his...
Has a little meltdown in the maze.
Yes. Oh, like holding toddler Joel's hand. Happy birthday, Dustin.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Well,
we blocked out these memories.
I can't wait to go eat the big chocolate cake and the small apple at Claim Jumpers. Oh, my gosh. Well, one last thing. Now, like, for those, give a couple mom pro tips. You gave a mom pro tip today. I said I was on the podcast, but there was something else that you told me today that I was like, that is some mom insight. What was it?
Was it about a park or...
I don't remember. I'm not going to
remember either.
But it was what if you're recommending, we did the tips are like go on the weekdays, go.
If you can go in the afternoon, you should
go in the afternoon if you can. Way less busy and way less toddlers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the lines are going to be less because you don't want to be waiting in lines and stuff. No. You're probably not going to get your first choice of pumpkin. But who
cares? The tricky thing when you have little kids is do you bring the stroller or
not? Right.
Because then you can put the pumpkin in there.
Yeah, but
can,
the stroller, pushing a stroller really, through the dirt is a pain.
It'll hold you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So make that decision. The wagon is fine, though. If you get a wagon or go to one that has a wagon.
Yeah.
The wagons are fine.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, I don't have that many tips.
That's great. I mean, honestly.
No, yeah. It's just you got to have a lot of food or be prepared to buy a lot of food.
Yeah. And I would just say, like, don't make like you don't have to stay that long. Get in and out, baby.
In and out.
In and out. Hour and a half. Hit
Short
everything that you want to see mm-hmm. and get out of there before the tears start coming from the kids, then the adults.
You're like, we're all having fun. We should leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, now that I think about it, I mean, I had this thought earlier today because you showered a little earlier than you do in the day.
If I shower.
And then you came out of the bathroom and I was like, you're wearing more makeup than you normally do on weekdays. And then you had an outfit change. You were planning it the whole time. You knew there was going to be some photo ops.
Listen.
Because this is not what you look like at Mondays at 3 usually.
I haven't worn jeans in months.
No, I'm talking about the face. The face is done up a little bit.
Yeah, I put more makeup on. I
knew it.
I haven't worn makeup in months.
I knew it.
Since
I knew
you're
it.
Special.
All right, everybody. Yeah. Let's get to some emails. please do send us some emails on your pumpkin patch memories and tips and tricks. Shoot us some emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. We would love to hear all things pumpkin patch stories. We've got a few emails.
Kay.
This first one's a long one.
I found a tip.
Okay.
It's lower your expectations.
Yeah, well, that's just a parenting thing in general. Okay, did we read this one from April?
Halloween was about
story?
April had the candy, right? She had the story about
with
the
Mennonite pastor.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Thank you for that one, April. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot to. Here we go. This one. Did we have another one from April? We need to.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We haven't read that one yet. It got buried.
You guys, you sent us so many great emails, and we're so grateful because. Here we go. This is one from April.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm skimming. Here we go. Dear Dustin, again, I haven't read these. So, dear Dustin, I first found out about you by your numerous hilarious appearances on John Christ's Instagram stories in the Sioux Falls video. I had bought tickets to the Reading, Pennsylvania show in the beginning of November 2019 and was really hoping you were going to be one of the opening comics so I could meet you in person. Unfortunately, that didn't happen as the rest of the tour was canceled a day or two before that show. I was so sad for you and the rest of the other openers and had hoped. April, this is a heavy email.
Yeah.
I should have read the subject here. April, this is an awkwardly long email I meant to send a while ago, but couldn't find the words to say until now. April, this is great. I'm already really into this. This might be the only email we read. I was so sad for you and the rest of the other openers and had hoped that you all would just had longer sets, as I had been a fan of you, the Aarons, Mike, and Trey. I can't imagine how you must have felt having an unexpected clear calendar pre-COVID-19, only to have it happen again 4 months later. I'm praying for you and your family as you navigate this tough time of unknowns. Thank you so much, April. That's very, very nice of you. That was a very tough time.
Yes.
Spring, as we've mentioned on here, my spring got canceled twice, but the Lord provided. Next one, subject, this is still April. I started listening to your podcast in November 2019. My cat, who was dying of cancer, and I would listen to your podcast together as you were a calm voice and gave me a reason to laugh when I was so sad. I then continued after she died and felt the comfort of having a friend who I didn't have to talk to but had great conversations. I could eavesdrop and chuckle sometimes. I now have a new cat, and we also listen to your podcast together. This Aww. Is so sweet. despite not being married or having kids, I can appreciate your stories of marriage and children, as I have a lot of married friends with kids of whom I interact with. I would love to hear some of your cat stories, since once in a while, too, as cats often tend to act very similar to young children. That is the truth. Our cats love to play outside with us. Whenever we're outside, cats are like, hey, we're here.
You're in our space.
My nieces and cats have very similar mannerisms at times. My brother is amused when I compare them. My sister-in-law, not so much. Hilarious. This is great. I have also appreciated your honesty of life, and especially when you were on staff at a church. I grew up a PK, pastor kid, and it is not easy being on staff or having someone you love be on church staff, as there's so many soul-crushing things that happen that most people rarely get a glimpse into. I'm sorry for what you've experienced, as I know it wasn't easy, not being appreciated and easily condemned by others, even though they didn't know all the work you had done for them. That sucks. How are you and Melissa able to move on in your faith despite not having a great relationship with the church when you had left the staff to pursue other opportunities? That has always been tough for me to let it not affect my faith. I've loved getting to listen to you and Melissa during your quarantine episode. She's a great guest, and I'm glad she is a regular contributor. Also, thank you for finally interviewing Mike Goodwin. I was going to ask you to have him on if you hadn't already. It made me laugh and cry. I would definitely buy a ticket if you went on tour together. Thank you for all your videos and podcasts you've been putting out during quarantine. I didn't send this to be read on the podcast. Okay, too late. I should have read that note early. As is long, but wanted you to know how much I appreciate your time and effort into sharing some laughs. Thank you for being my podcast friend, and I hope to meet you at an in-person show when you come to Central PA, whenever that might be. Take care and stay healthy, Nickerson family. April. P.S. I missed the sneaky munchie bag ads. Me too, because they were paying us to be on here. was surprised even with. They were my favorite part of the intros. I understand they're no longer sponsors, but they make me laugh when I listen to older episodes. April, that's just very genuine, very heartfelt, very touching email.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sending this. You are as good of backseater as we could ask for. The question that you asked was, how are you and Melissa able to move on in your faith despite having a not great relationship with the church when you had left the staff to pursue other opportunities? That is not a unique story, unfortunately. You know, it's such a weird,
career.
It's a weird
transition.
We didn't plan on diving into this stuff, but I'll just say, like, one of the more unexpected experiences, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, 19-year-old, you know, us taking on internships at a church that had all the excitement of the world, going from 1500 to 15,000, and the thrill of being offered $40,000 a year to work for them, and being on staff at this prestigious, exciting church, and then leading a small church, you know, down here. One of the unexpected, or co-leading a small church down here in San Diego. One of the things that you just do not see coming is how many coworkers, like, walk away from church. Like, not, I'm not talking like they stop working at a church or stop attending the church that they worked at. I mean, they are gone. There you don't go to church anymore.
Well, especially at the mega church. Yeah.
I think it's in general.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
Either for a season or indefinitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't.
And their kids too.
Yeah, we never stopped going to church, but we don't have the white hot zeal to catch a Sunday service. It's not even that we never had the zeal. We don't have the, like, the regular orientation kind of that we had, which is Sundays you go to church. No matter what, you go to Sundays, you go to church. Sundays you go to church. And some of that is tied to, like, you just, you know what, your view of Sunday changes because you used to execute it. And you know that, like, there is a specialness to it, but you also know that it's also just somebody's job to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a sacredness, but then there's also just like a...
It kind of takes away ABC. The sacredness of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Checklist.
Yeah, like stand-up comedy used to be sacred to me too, and then I started comedy, and I was like, oh, you guys are just talking in the green room. You know, like, this isn't... it's still cool.
Well, that's just kind of losing the enthusiasm of any new career or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of a process. We tell that to our kids a lot. Like, faith is a process and it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, there was just phrases like, they call it Christianese, you know, or just doctrine and verses and phrases that you hear a lot around a certain group of church or whatever kind of tradition you're in.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of the same phrases, and some of those are just, they don't hit like they used to, you know, like they... They hurt a little. They, you know.
Yeah. If I had someone like try and tell me about the idols of my heart, I'm going.
We've heard that concept.
I'm going to
100,000 times
shove an idol down their throat.
It was really good the first couple times.
The first 100 times
that Tim Keller wrote it.
That Tim Keller wrote it, and then
everyone
1,000 other
it.
Pastors stole it.
Yeah.
And actually, Augustine wrote it, right? The heart is an idol factory. It was either Augustine or Luther.
And also C.S. Lewis, the sand castles, the mud puddles.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
when
yeah,
he has
yeah.
a holiday at the sea.
That's right.
You have to Google that one.
Yeah.
But if you know it, you know it.
You know it, you know it. Here's the thing. Here's what I would encourage you, April. Like, Melissa is right, and it is, like, it's so... I said this the other day. Like, people are so, like... stringent on what your faith is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And that is them projecting their own insecurities of their own faith. Mm-hmm. When somebody tells you what your faith is supposed to look like, they're, in my opinion, they're trying to affirm that what they're doing is right. They're saying, I have an insecurity about this. And so I'm just going to project that insecurity onto you, because what you're doing is making me feel uncomfortable with what I'm doing. I'm living in this lane, and I need it to work for me. I need this lane to be perfect for me, and I need it to be the lane. And so if you're not in that lane, it's not okay that you're not in that lane, because your lane might be right, and I know that your lane might be okay. I know that in my heart, so I have to yell at you and make you feel bad about not being in that lane. You got it, and it's just not like that. It's just not, and that's why what I told you the other day is, like, we say these things, like, people are like that, and they're stringent, and it has to be like this, and this dogma, and this, you know, practice, and these rituals, and these devotionals, and these habits, and these rhythms, all these things, and you're like, you guys know that other than the Bible, our second is Pilgrim's Progress, right? Like, that's our number two book, and what's it about? It's about a journey. It's about ups and downs, and temptations, and struggles, and straight, and reverse, and falling, and, like, that's that's all of this. That's what I, and so what I've found.
Kind of dogma.
Yeah, well, for me, April, and this is all I can say because I can only speak to my own unique experiences, is your faith is just that. It is your faith.
Mm-hmm.
It is to be lived out with other people. It is to be expressed with other people, but it is to be owned by you. It is your faith, and you are uniquely you, April.
Whatever upbringing you had will influence that.
Thank you.
But you need to review it and decide
we have
what
three
it,
children
yours is.
That have three different brains, three different lives, three different experiences, three different
personalities.
Personalities.
Yeah.
so have three different faiths.
Yeah.
That are going to look differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do what brings your heart peace. You have mm-hmm. to do what feels aligned with the way that you were made or evolved, whatever way yeah. you want to phrase it, that feels and all that stuff for me of when people look back and they're like, or you think about the things that people used to say to you and the hurt that they said to you or the yeah. ways that the church has hurt you, you know, it's kind of like the old wineskin stuff, and it's just going to cause you shame. It's like, that's not you anymore. It's almost like remembering, it can be traumatic. It's like mm-hmm. when you remember like getting bullied in high school or something like that. But you're like, that's mm-hmm. not, I mean, that's there.
Yeah.
That's still there in, like, that's still an experience that you had, but that's not you anymore. And you're not in high school anymore.
Well, but that doesn't mean like you stop learning.
No.
Like that's, like if it's school,
yeah,
you stop learning.
Right.
Or like if it's church, people just turn away from God. Like,
right.
No more
right.
God.
Right. Right.
You know, we see that a lot, especially with artists, like throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And there is room to still have a faith.
Yeah.
And to still ask questions.
Yeah.
And all of that.
And I think, April, what I have found is when we kind of like shook the shackles of being on church staff, and that's, I'm not anti-church staff at all, if that's what you're supposed to be.
We understand those people.
Great.
Very
when
well.
We kind of
yeah.
shook the shackles of that, and also like the shackles of what I would call like a super stringent dogmatic theology and doctrine of like, this is what we believe. The most important thing is what we believe. We believe these are beliefs,
yeah.
these are beliefs, these
yeah.
are beliefs. We tell people about our beliefs, our beliefs, our beliefs. This about the Trinity. This about women in church.
Heaven,
this about tongues.
Hell.
This about heavens. This about the end time. It's just like about a memorizing of what our official beliefs are. And I would do that and it never felt right. But I feel when you kind of get rid of those shackles, I feel more vibrant in my faith, and I just feel more vibrant in my life. And I feel like people appreciate my heart and my, for lack of a better word, ministry more now because it's coming from a more authentic, genuine place. I'm not mm-hmm. doing the things that pastors are like yelling at me to do.
Yeah.
Or small groups are like just like forcing me to do like, these are the things, this is the church plan, this is the church's plan. You're
yeah.
just operating some other dude's plan, and that might align with what you're supposed to do,
like your calling.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just not what I'm supposed to do. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I always was super, I like wanted to be amongst non-Christians. I wanted to be in primarily like secular places. I have no interest in being a Christian comedian. This is my faith. I believe these things, and it has bearing on how I live my life and the decisions that I make. But it's just not, I'm not going to like wear those like labels, not the labels of Christian, but again, I'm rambling here, but I'm just saying I feel like the way that my heart and my life and my words affect people are more effective and frankly more attractive mm-hmm. to Christianity now that I'm not that anymore. Now that
we've
I don't.
Certainly had a couple people tell us, like, I don't know another Christian like you.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling
yeah.
because you've not to make you feel good about yourself, but to make you feel like, oh, no, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Like, God didn't need
just you. Yeah.
God didn't need any of us, but
no.
He doesn't need us to all do the same things because
yeah.
certain things reach certain people and convert them or whatever the goal is, or get them to go to church. And other people were just like a kind, loving place where there aren't a lot of kind, loving Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and like for Melissa, what that looks like is constantly caring for the least of these and having a big heart
mm-hmm.
for the least of these, you know, children, you know, elderly. That's always been there. And like in the
yeah.
times that you're like thriving in your faith and thriving in your effectiveness in the community
mm-hmm.
is when you're doing those things.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just always being surrounded by people that don't believe what I believe. I'm just very comfortable there. I like it. I don't feel super comfortable. When I do gigs at Megachurch, I was texting a friend this today that I was like, I just have a hard time Like, I listened to Kanye on Rogan when he was talking about the megachurch pastors putting the sauce on the Bible. He's like, I'm an entertainer. I have a lot of sauce. I mean, nobody has more sauce than He's like, I don't need that. And I was like, that's what I feel. And so when I hear the incredible worship band, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I hear the funny pastor, I don't need that. I just need the insightful one who's going to teach me what it means.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I would just say, like, you know, read and podcast and all that. Those help.
There's, for whatever you're going through, there are people who are going through it too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone, April. Everything that you just said resonates hard with us. Mm-hmm. You know, I would not compare your cats to children, but you can compare your faith to ours. You know, and I can't thank you enough for this email. So thank you. I appreciate this, April, and I appreciate you being such a great backseater. There's nowhere else to go than to end the podcast there. Yeah. A while ago, we were talking about pumpkin patches, and then April, you warmed and broke our hearts all in one. Mm-hmm. You're the very best. I appreciate you guys, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There.
All right. See ya.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.